The institution of polygamy has been much criticized as the source of considerable suffering for Muslim women. But at the time of this revelation, it constituted a social advance. In the pre-Islamic period, both men and women were allowed several spouses. After marriage, a woman remained at the home of her family and was visited by all her husbands. It was, in effect, a form of licensed prostitution. Paternity was therefore uncertain, so children were usually identified as the descendants of their mothers. Men did not need to provide for their wives and took no responsibility for their offspring. But Arabia was in transition. The new spirit of individualism in the peninsula meant that men were becoming more interested in their own children and were more assertive about personal property and wanted their sons to inherit their wealth. The Quran encouraged this trend toward a more patriarchal society. Muhammad endorsed it by taking his wives into his own household and providing for them. And the verses instituting polygamy take it for granted that Muslim men will do the same. But the Quran was also aware of a social problem that this new revelation sought to redress. In the pre-Islamic period, a woman could not own property. Any wealth that came her way belonged to her family and was administered by her male relatives. But in Mecca, where individualism was more pronounced than elsewhere in Arabia, some of the more aristocratic women had been able to inherit and administer their own fortunes. Khadija was a case in point. But this was still rare in Mecca and almost unheard of in Medina. Most men found the idea that women could inherit and manage their property quite ludicrous. Women had no individual rights. How could they? Apart from a few notable exceptions, they did nothing to contribute to the economy. And because they took no part in the ghazu, they brought no wealth to the community. Traditionally, women were considered part of a man's estate. After his death, his wives and daughters passed to his male heirs, who often kept them unmarried and impoverished in order to control their inheritance. The Quranic institution of polygamy was a piece of social legislation. It was designed not to gratify the male sexual appetite, but to correct the injustices done to widows, orphans, and other female dependents who were especially vulnerable. All too often, unscrupulous people seized everything and left the weaker members of the family with nothing. They were often sexually abused by their male guardians or converted into a financial asset by being sold into slavery. Ibn Ubay, for example, forced his women slaves into prostitution and pocketed the proceeds. The Quran bluntly refutes this behaviour and takes it for granted that a woman has an inalienable right to her inheritance. Polygamy was designed to ensure that unprotected women would be decently married and to abolish the old, loose, irresponsible liaisons. Men could have only four wives and must treat them equitably. It was an unjustifiably wicked act to devour their property. The Quran was attempting to give women a legal status that most Western women would not enjoy until the 19th century. The emancipation of women was a project dear to the Prophet's heart, but it was resolutely opposed by many of the men in the Ummah, including some of his closest companions. In a society of scarcity, it took courage and compassion to take financial responsibility for four women and their children. Muslims must have confidence that God would provide. Marry the spouseless among you, and your slaves and handmaidens that are righteous. If they are poor, God will enrich them of his bounty. God is all-embracing, all-knowing.